Blog Talk Radio.
Got me?
Yeah.
All right. We are already live. So I'm going to get to business here and take it from there. Better late than never, I guess.
Okay. I will let you do that, and I will be calling in at 7:30.
All right.
All right. Cool.
Hey, race fans. Better late than never, I guess. Speedway Anywhere podcast, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Anywhere. Your stock car, Indy car, any car, no matter how many wheels. We even have different kinds of speedways anywhere, including demolition derby and whatnot. We're live on in studio video feed on facebook.com too. As far as the in-studio live, just go to facebook.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Go to our page, like it, add yourself, and you can listen in and watch in-studio shenanigans as well. Or if you're on my own page, the live feed is also available there. Tune in, watch in, call in, 917-889-2053. I'm your crew chief, Q. Captain Kurt will be joining us in just a little bit. It's now Monday, August 10th. I'm going to cut to the bumper music, get the rest of the live feed going, and then we'll be right back. Sorry about the difficulties got going on tonight. But yeah, it's now Monday, August 19th, and we are now live. We're coming off a huge weekend at Bristol with the K&N series on Thursday, the Gander Truck series in the evening on Thursday, Xfinity series on Friday, and one of the fan and driver favorites, depending upon who you ask, the Bristol Night Race from Saturday night. This was the first race of the Truck Series chase for the 2019 season. Championship Showdown is underway for the Trucks. It was typical Bristol night racing. Before we get to results, let's bring out some speed bits from last week. Obviously, the big news was Dale Jr. and his plane going down and crashing on the runway at a nearby airport of Bristol on Thursday. So 5 days later, we're happy to report that and say that all five on board were safe and sound, which includes Dale Jr., his wife Amy, 15-month-old daughter Isla Rose, and two pilots who saved the day. Those guys are definitely heroes, if you ask me. No getting around that. So the one thing was so gripping was the sight of them running away from the airplane, the burning airplane, with a baby Isla. Brings a smile to my face when you see their dog running away from it as well. But yeah, everybody made it through. Another speed bit that came down the wire. David Reagan announced that he'd be vacating the sport as far as full time. He'll open up the seat of the number 38 ride at Front Row Motorsports at the end of this year. So, albeit not the most competitive of cars, but it does make you wonder what will become of that ride in 2020. So, Matt DiBenedetto made the news for more reasons than just one. He's been given the news he'll be out of the number 95 ride for next year. I'm assuming that this has probably been in the works for a little while. He came on strong lately, though. He has four top tens in the last eight starts, including two top fives, and one of them being the cliffhanger finish in second place at Bristol on Saturday night. So will he end up in that number 38 at Front Row Racing? I'm kind of hoping something more competitive opens up for him. I said at the beginning of this year, and matter of fact, I was talking about it at the end of last year, that he was going to be one to watch in 2019 here if he gets himself into a competitive ride. And I'm not sure if the 95 has been the most competitive, but so far lately, he's been holding true to it. As far as when he stepped out of the number 32, I believe, at the end of last year, and then went to the 95 at the beginning of this year. Let's get to results and stats, but I do have some more sponsorship controversy coming up in just a bit. Sorry, I got Kurt joining us, and then I also have a few notes coming across the screen. Let's see. Once again, people, 917-889-2053 if you want to join in. We're going to get going on the Cup news, and all I can say is, man, what a teaser. The final 50 or so laps had me on the edge of my seat up to the checkers, and the checkers had me saying, what if? I mean, Matt DiBenedetto, he was on the brink of his first cup win till Denny Hamlin got by him with around 10 laps to go. Coming off his second win of the year, Kevin Harvick broke something in his tranny. Did I just say Harvin? I think I did. Harvick broke something in his tranny or drive chain and ended up dead last after after looking like he was going to be the one to beat. Multiple drivers in typical Bristol fashion were taken out as well for or at least handicapped by damage. A lot of wrecks. Or even if not a caution flag, they're getting the driver's side of the cars up into the wall. Denny Hamlin, of course, being one of them. But he still soldiered through and won after starting on the pole. I wanted to mention Matt DiBenedetto. He was consistently fastest over the weekend in practice and whatnot. We got to all kinds of goofy stuff going on here. Let me fix that real quick. And as soon as these chimes go away, oh, this is killing me.
Hey, I got a question. When you do cup news, and if you got to adjust the papers that your notes are on, would you be adjusting your cup?
You know what? That's a good one. So,
yeah, I think it'd be even funnier if you actually put notes on paper still, but
I have to fix something here. We do have Kurt on the phone, and we'll get his audio going in just a minute here. Like usual, nothing is smooth sailing on the show here. I got this is killing me. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. On right now. All right. 917-889-2053. I got Jesse chiming in here, so maybe we'll get him on as well. Well, all right, let's go back to, all right, let's get the cup news going. I'm going to add your audio over on the, onto the show, and, all right, there we go. So, Hamlin with his fourth win of the, his 2019 season, Matt DiBenedetto with a heartbreaking second. It was his highest finish of his career, I do believe. as well as highest of the year, obviously. So after after De Benedetto was running so strong throughout the weekend and practice and all that, it was no doubt that he was going to be a factor in the finishing order. So after Matt De Benedetto, it was Brad Keselowski third, Kyle Busch fourth, and then Chase Elliott rounding out the top five. Kyle Larson and Clint Bowyer, and they've had some hit and miss, I guess, finishes this year, finishing sixth, seventh. But someone who's on the cusp of making it into the top 16 as far as that cutoff for the chase, with only a few races to go, is Daniel Suarez. So he also took eighth place, and then Kurt Busch salvaged a ninth place finish, and Ryan Blaney got a top 10 finishing in 10th. Now, a couple more guys other than Suarez who are teetering on that 16th place in points, Ryan Newman, and he finished 11th, I believe, yes. And then Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson's on the outside, and he finished 19th. So points after Bristol with two races to go before the chase go to Kyle Busch in the lead, Joey Logano second, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., fifth is Kevin Harvick, and then sixth, Brad Keselowski, then Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, Ryan Blaney, Alex Bowman, who's got a win to lock him in this year. And then starting in 11th, we got Kyle Larson, then William Byron, Eric Almirola. Eric Almirola had a really rough day finishing outside the top 30. And then Eric Jones, 14th, Ryan Newman, 15th, and then Daniel Suarez. Daniel Suarez is in that final spot in 16th. On the outside looking in, immediately in 17th is Clint Bowyer, then 18th to Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson might miss the championship showdown for the first time since the inception of the championship chase. So I mentioned another sponsor controversy, and it's at the cup level. You might remember a certain sponsor issue, and this is in the truck series. This was at Aldora when Mike Marler had Marathon Gas as a sponsor and had to remove it before their race on the dirt that Thursday night because Sunoco being the official fuel of NASCAR. Well, this one's a whole nother animal. The number 54 Rick Ware Racing Team with J.J. Yaley at the wheel was slated to have the band Slayer. My words got mistyped. I didn't use the spacebar properly. Have the band Slayer as a primary sponsor, giving attention to their farewell tour. Now, this isn't the first time a musician or band has covered a car, with the more recent ones being Tyler Reddick, with he had the metal band Megadeth for one race, and then he also had Dolly Parton. So, but it was not to be for J.J. Yaley and Slayer. Rick Ware Racing is only quoted as saying something to the effect of it being a conflict of interest with subsidiary sponsors and whatever. Basically, they're saying that that they didn't want the Slayer paint scheme or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't want to tick off Roddy Piper or Hulk Hogan or, you know, Sting, Lex Luger. No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry. What was that you just said?
No, he didn't want to tick out for Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
But then, bang. Thank you.
But yeah, after all that, I'm sure there's a little bit more in the details there. They didn't want the upside down star on the car and the big evil Slayer look. But after the BS, he used Slayer's Rain in Blood as a intro song, as his walkout song.
Mm-hmm.
So Bristol, of course, is the only track that does that unique driver intro, you know, where each driver has its own tune and all that. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. It was either Jeff Hanneman or Kerry King or Dave Lombardo from Slayer who is quoted as saying, well, I guess after 40 years, Slayer is still too scary for some people. So that's pretty good humor. The Cup Series will return at Darlington after a weekend off this coming weekend. They'll be at Darlington for the traditional Southern 500 Labor Day weekend. So that's still trying to see something here over on the Facebook Live side. Yeah, I don't know. That's about it for the Cup news. Let's see, we got. All right. So let's see. Let's go to Xfinity. I'm a little sluggish today. So.
How big do you think Dolly Parton's chest was on that hood, though? You know,
can you
just think about
what,
how big
a certain bodily feature as the headlights? That would have been good. Here's the one thing that I don't get. Okay, you put Megadeth on there, and well, Megadeth doesn't have any upside down pentagrams or whatever. Like Slayer does, but I don't know. My feelings are that they sort of alienated more fans because there's a lot of people that are in my age group or just over or just under that grew up as Slayer fans. And they're also NASCAR fans. And they, it would have been our great little promo, call it what you will. Go to Xfinity. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see the Xfinity race on Friday night, but I do know it was another that produced the regular Bristol Night Racing that you would expect, you know. Only one of the big three of the series, Tyler Reddick, finished in the top five to survive it. The other two were Christopher Bell. He was outside of the top 10 and 14th, and then even further back was Cole Custer back in 22nd. So it wasn't your usual suspects. So your top five were Tyler Reddick in first, Chase Briscoe in second, John Hunter Nemechek third. Fourth went to Jeremy Clements, and I think that's his highest finish of 2019. But back-to-back road course winner, Austin Cendric, he ended up in fifth. So more road races to come, too, for Xfinity. And if you're going to find me somewhere, I'd keep mine on Austin Cendric. So that would be that'd be a safe bet if ever. I would go all in on Cendric. So I would go into all those that had a rough day too, by the way, as far as Bristol in the Xfinity series, but I'd probably have to name the whole field You know what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Couple mentions. Kyle, the Bushwhacker Bush, could only put up a 29th place finish. Usually, you know, he wins everything outside of his full-time cup career schedule. I got to say, I'm happy he finished back in 29th. That just kind of get tired of him winning every race he enters as far as Xfinity and the truck. Just like at California, when he ended up running second to Cole Custer at the finish line. So that was another one that put a smile on my face. Pretty sure he's done whacking for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's allowed to whack no more.
By the way, did Kurt Busch, since they got to pick their own music, did he come out to Bitch by Meredith Brooks? You know,
no,
20 years ago?
Doggone it. I made some notes about their walk-up songs,
okay,
too. I'll get to them in a little while. I don't think I listed the one for Kurt Busch, but I do have some news on that one as we get down to, you know, final laps or whatever. But yeah, another Bushwhacker, Joey Logano, he ended his day or night or whatever you want to call it, and he ended up in 36. So serves the poachers right, if you ask me, you know. So the Xfinity Series points with four to go before the Xfinity chase begins. Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, the big three as they're being called, go 1-2-3. Justin Allgaier still winless, but he's holding on as far as points go. He's up there in fourth. Austin Cendrick, two wins now, is in fifth. Chase Briscoe, he has a win. He's in sixth. Noah Gregson, winless, in seventh. Michael Annette, he's got two wins so far this year. He's in eighth. Justin Haley and John Hunter Nemechek round out the top 10. Now, the Xfinity Series only has 12 cars going into their championship showdown of seven races, unlike Cup Series, who has 16 with 10 races in their chase. And outside the top 10, Brandon Jones and then Ryan Sieg. So there's your top 12 if the chase was to begin today. Here comes another road course for the Xfinity Series. They're going to Road America this Saturday, Lake Elkhart, Wisconsin. So, like I said, might want to put your money on Austin Cendrick. He's won both road courses so far this year for the series. And one more road course to go this year, too, where the fabled. Where did that come from? That kind of sounds like a fable. Fable mouse. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the fabled Roval. That's why I ended up saying fabled, because of the Roval. At Charlotte, I believe that's either the final weekend of September or the first weekend of October. So let's keep going because I still got a lot to get through. Well, I didn't see the Truck Series race on FS1, but I did listen to the MRN radio feed that was going on actually as we were on air last Thursday when we had some issues again. Early on, it was Brett Moffitt and Ross Chastain trading the lead in the Truck Series. In the end, it was Moffitt who won after a late red flag, by the way. Shortly before, Rod Chastain had a pit road infraction that may have costed him the win. Chastain, he made quick work of the seventh place restart and wound up in third. I'm sure had it not been for the penalty on pit road, he probably would have had something to say about Brett Moffitt winning it.
Hmm.
17-year-old Chandler Smith and ARCA regular and multiple-time winner in the ARCA series, he ended up in second. So Smith, of course, is a familiar name for those that follow the ARCA series. Stuart Friesen, he managed fourth place, even though he had a late race tangle, and I believe that was with Grant Enfinger, but still managed to come back and finish in fourth. And the top five was capped out by Grant Enfinger. So that's four of the eight drivers of the chase in the top five, and Chandler Smith playing the interloper, who finished in second. Now, I'll call him an interloper instead of a bushwhacker. So,
all right.
Well, you got to be fair there. So, see what's going on here on the message board. Oh, looks like we got our buddy Dan Decker chiming in.
Oh,
so I better be a professional now. Yeah, like I can act like a professional. It's not in my vocabulary. The other chase drivers, besides last week's winner and whatnot, outside of the top five, we had Austin Hill, two-time winner in the Xfinity Series. He finished in 10th. Johnny Sauter finished in 11th. Farthest back of the contenders was Tyler Ankrum. He was six laps down in 20th. So I just said that was the Xfinity Series, didn't I? Yeah, I did. So much for being a pro. Six laps down for Tyler Ankrum in 20th. So he's got his work cut out if he's going to advance after the first three races of their seven-race chase. The top ten top contenders that didn't make the field of eight were Sheldon Creed in sixth, Ben Rhodes in eighth, Todd Gilliland in ninth, and let's see, Harrison Burton. Also one of the front runners. He finished back in 23rd. So, yeah, the top order, this stuff is, like, way out of order, and I got this right off of NASCAR's website, but whatever. So the top order of the race, Brett Moffitt, Chandler Smith, Ross Chastain, Stuart Friesen, Grant Enfinger is your top five, and then as far as points go, we have Brett Moffitt leading the points after the first race of their chase. Then Ross Chastain, second. Stuart Friesen, third. Grant Enfinger, fourth. Matt Crafton, fifth. Johnny Sauter in sixth. Austin Hill in seventh. And then Tyler Ankrum in eighth. So basically the way it would work today, if the next round of their chase began, Austin Hill and Tyler Ankrum would be out. We'll see how it goes. Pretty much been that order all year. Ross Chastain obviously gets a fresh start on this because he's no longer coming in late. You know, he's actually in the chase at this point, and he doesn't have to worry about winning his way in, and he doesn't have to worry about that top 20 in points cutoffs. So Gainer World Trucks return at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park in Canada, obviously, on August 25th for the second race of the seven-race chase. Now, so it'll be nothing but road courses for the top NASCAR divisions this weekend, and, of course, Cup Series has the weekend off. So take your pick. Saturday or Sunday, no matter what you do, it's going to be road races for both the trucks and Xfinity series. So I am so far behind, but I'm still going to take a quick bumper music break. As, I've been on the air now for about 25 minutes, so I deserve a break today. Hey, I've heard that somewhere. All right, we'll be right back. All right, you still got me?
Yeah.
All right, good. You can hear me now? Good, blah, blah, blah. That old stupid joke, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, we've wrapped up about 35 to 40 minutes worth of material in the first 25 minutes that I've been on. So... we're already up to NHRA. NHRA hit my hometown track at Brainerd over the weekend. So, and once again, in usual fashion, I missed Brainerd. So.
Okay, I'd make a quick comment about Brainerd.
I'm afraid you will.
By the way, once again, I'd like to mention, I don't know if I was able to say it on Thursday, but not everybody in Brainerd talks like they did in Fargo.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, all you got to do is venture a little bit east of here to a little town called Lindstrom. They even have an old tea kettle for a water tower. It's actually really cool.
I've actually thought that was really cool, and I always thought it was a cool name for a town in Minnesota, and it's not that far from here at all.
Yeah, I've met a few people with the last name Lindstrom too, and as soon as you went to the town, they're like, "Oh, yeah, great! I have to hear that again."
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they hit Brainerd over the weekend. Brittany Force.
Oh yeah.
Little bit of news about her. She marked her fifth time this year that she took
She's
first.
Hot.
I don't disagree. But this is the fifth time this year that she took first in the qualifiers. She didn't get much further than that after being eliminated in the second round in the finals to a fellow John Force Racing driver, Austin Prock. Eventually was eliminated by top field final winner, Leah Pritchett. She's pretty hot, too, in a bodyguard type of way.
Hell, she won, so makes her even more hot.
Yeah, I mean, I'd let her fight my battles, I'll tell you that, on more than just a racetrack. Oh, God. You know, she'll probably kick my ass just for saying that. So last event was John Force's 150th career win in the finals. That's where he grabbed it over Ring Caps. And then, but he was eliminated before the finals this time, and it was Caps who took the funny car final at Brainerd. So, I still wonder if Ron Caps didn't maybe lift just a little bit for John Force, you know, so he could get that 150th win.
No.
But I don't know. Like, even when it comes down to it, with Denny Hamlin winning at Bristol and chasing down Matt DiBenedetto with 10 to go, Denny actually claimed that he felt bad for winning the race, you know?
Mm.
Because, you know, it would have been the feel-good story of the week. Well, maybe not the feel-good story for the week. The feel-good story of the week was obviously Dale Jr., his wife and daughter, and the two pilots surviving the wreck.
Yeah.
So, but it's one of those guys, just like Ross Chastain, right?
Yeah.
You just, even if somebody else in the series is your favorite driver, you want him to win. And Ross Chastain is easily my favorite driver on the track during any truck series race. I said at the beginning of the whole adventure for Ross Chastain that I was on the air with a few different broadcasts. One of them being our friends over at Talking in Circles, and then the other being on Common Man over at KFan. That, you know, this is the feel-good story that everyone needs to have for it. All three series in NASCAR, I probably paid closer attention to the truck series due to the fact that it's I've been on Ross watch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh yeah.
And of course, he made it into the. He made it into their chase that just began, and the rest is history. But see Matt DiBenedetto pull off a win before the chase began would have just been like, wow, especially after his news last week that he won't be returning to that number 95. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show here. Pro Stock went to Minnesota homeboy Jayden Lyne. How poetic. Talking about a feel-good story, right?
Yeah.
Hometown Minnesota boy won Pro Stock at Brainerd over the weekend. He also won that final over Erica Enders.
Mm-hmm.
Erica Enders has had a tough time making it into the finals this year. Maybe we need to get Tanner Gray back over from the K&M Pro Series, and we're moved to this year. Tanner Gray, of course, last year's Pro Stock champion in the NHRA. He made a move. So, but yeah, her and Tanner had a bit of a rivalry going last year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what Erica Enders needs. She needs Tanner to come back and light a fire on her again. Pro Bike had the weekend off. I would have been mad. I would, if I would have went to Brainerd and then find out that Angel Sampaio's her new last name is. If drivers like her and Angie Smith and all them weren't there. I mean, those are some good looking women.
Right.
Angel Sampe. I'll get it right one of these times. We, she's not bad
you
looking.
You know what they need?
What's that?
They need celebrity drag racing.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
And no, I mean, and they're not going to drive, you know, one of these, hey, we're going to go to a dealership, we're going to buy you a car. Yeah, it'll be a little faster, but just a little faster because you're a celebrity. I want them to drive just like the pros do.
You know, it's funny you mention that because when I was on KFAN on Monday, Common mentioned that he got to tear it up at Brainerd in a Boss 302 Mustang.
Oh, that would be fun.
Said that said there was nothing left of the clutch, and they actually sent it to him. He said it weighed enough that if he wanted to mount it on the wall, he would have had to use railroad spikes.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. That was a fun little interview. And for those wondering who KFAN is that aren't from the Twin Cities, they are our major market iHeartRadio sports station. And I do get on there for brief segments, sometimes 30 seconds, sometimes, oh, 5-6 minutes, whatever. But it's a good time, and they're the reason that I ended up getting involved in this little venture called Speedway Anywhere. I gotta check something here. Apparently, I got some comments coming in. So there's Jesse Preston saying hello. Hey, bro.
Oh, okay.
Back at ya. Dave Dyker.
Can I say something real quick to Jesse? It'll be a minute. Jesse, I was going to tell you the other night, because before what happened, we brought up how I brought up the Ford LTD in a demo derby. I was going to tell you what I heard Jerry Seinfeld say about the Ford LTD. Limited to 90 million. Okay, I'm done.
Hey, I got a little public service announcement, if you want to call it that, coming in from Dan Dyker.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Let me enlarge the print because my eyes can barely see even with these big ugly glasses on. Dan Dyker, he wants to let folks know, Jacob Gady. Dan, I actually said the name correct. By the way, I thought his last name was pronounced like Good or Geode, or, but yeah, Jacob Gady. And Nick Pantiska, not doing any better with his name than I was the first time that Jacob Gady appeared in front of me. They're both in the NASCAR Whelen All-American Series.
Okay.
National Points Chase, by the way. So it's hard to explain that point system. And next year, by the way, as far as ARCA and K&N Pro, they're going to kind of cross-member their point system. Let's see. Oh. I see what he's got going on. This is coming from Dan Dyker, the track announcer and regional. I'm getting even more messages coming in here. I'm getting derailed, and I have less than an hour to go, but that's fine. I love the input. I love the interaction. So the Midwest Rocks, thank you. That is cool. They do have a hell of a scene going on over at Paul Politsky. Okay. Dan Dyker gave me the correct pronunciation for for Nick Politsky. I had to actually ask Dan the proper way of pronouncing his last name too, because, you know, D-E-I-C-H-E-R, Deicher, or Deicher, and then he put it up as Deicher, and ever since then, I've been pronouncing Dan's name correctly, so that's awesome. What else did we get here?
How about Double D?
Jacob Gaidy will be in Minnesota NASCAR champ this year. I'm assuming that's at Elko, or just because he's from Minnesota. And all right, I got to soldier on through something really quick. Finish up the NHRA, and then yes, here we go. So as far as points in NHRA, Robert Height still commands the points for Funny Car. Tommy Johnson and John Force keep trading second place. Right now, John Force is back there in the third spot as far as points go right now. Pro Stock is still the same with Bo Butner first and Greg Anderson in second. Pro Bike, obviously they had the weekend off. Andrew Hines leading Eddie Krawick in second, and Matt Smith in third as far as Pro Bike goes. So one more, by the way, only one more event before the top 10 cutoff for all divisions in the NHRA. They'll take Indy Dragway on August 28th. That's the final race before the six-race showdown begins. So... I want to add that this was some sad news last November, that the owner of Brainerd, Jed Cobham, he passed away after the end of last season. Cobham died off the Fort Myers area in a boating incident somewhere near Sanibel, I believe. But yeah, Cobham bought Brainerd back in 2006, and basically he saved the track. He did. He saved the track when NHRA and others, broadcast partners, I think it was ESPN at that time, they were about to walk away if the improvements weren't made to the track. So Cobham came in, made the improvements, be it press box and seating and fan accommodations and whatnot. And the show goes on now. NHRA was about to step away, but as I was just talking about, Cobham was only 47 at the time that he passed away. Dan, yes, feel free to call in. I have to cruise through the KNN news real quick. And then, but yeah, phone in 917-889-2053. When you call in, you'll be on hold for a bit. And as soon as I get back over to my switchboard screen on Blog Talk Radio, I can attach the call. So you'll be able to listen over the phone though to the live broadcast. 917-889-2053. K&M Pro Series. It was at Bristol. Sam Mayer, he won at Bristol. He also won at Bristol earlier this year. Sam Mayer, he's a young 16-year-old. He's been the one to beat in the Pro East Series. And he held the point lead coming out of Bristol. And then, so that's Sam Mayer, your winner. Ty Gibbs in second, Ruben Garcia Jr. in third, Mason Diaz in fourth, and Spencer Davis. Fan favorite, Tanner Gray and Haley Deegan were both there too, by the way. Deegan pulling double duty over the weekend. Well, from Thursday through you got more messages over here. Give me just a second.
I would like to mention how you said Spencer Davis. Remember the Spencer Davis group from the 60s. Give me some love then.
There's a lot of famous people with the last name Davis, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Twins had a terrible pitcher with the last name Davis. They had a great batter in 91, fun year, named Chili Davis.
Chili. So, speaking of chili, I'm hungry. So, yeah, fan favorites, Tanner Gray and Haley Deegan finished in the middle of the 16-car field. Only 16 cars, by the way.
You know, there was probably a good that would have been a fun race to watch just because they could pass more.
So, well, it could come down to the fact that Bristol is like the ocean, okay? If you can't afford to lose it, don't put it in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
So, Kanye West, they ended up running at Evergreen Speedway Saturday with, or what's that, yesterday? I think that was yesterday, Sunday. And like I said, a few pulling double duty with the K&N East Bristol race. Trevor Huddleston, the top honor. Derek Krause in second. Derek Krause, of course, the big dog in points on the west side. Brittany Zamora, she finished in top three. She's, you know, everyone knows about Haley Deegan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
oh, yeah.
There's another top girl on the block. Brittany Zamora, even though she's playing bridesmaid, she finished ahead of Haley on in the most recent one, finishing in third. Trenton Moriarty, see, I'm still screwing up names, finished fourth, and Jagger Jones in fifth. Fan favorite, Haley Deegan, ended up in seventh in her double duty weekend. Derek Krause, top dog in the West, is still leading the points. And then Sam Mayer, young Sam Mayer, is leader of the points in the East. Three to go for the year in the East series, and the West has five to go. One of those races, by the way, is another East meets West, just like it was at Iowa. Yeah, it was Iowa in the last East meets East meets West. I can't even say simple words correctly today, can I? But yeah, that's coming up this weekend when they race at Gateway this Saturday, the 24th. How are we doing tonight, Dan?
Doing good. How are you tonight?
It's great to meet you. I'm familiar with the voice, and I have my brother, Captain Kurt, joining us on the line too. So, Kurt and folks that don't know, Dan is the voice of La Crosse Speedway. And I believe you've done some other things in your career too, correct?
Yeah, I've been in full-time radio and TV for just about 30 years now. And I have a racing show that's broadcast locally and over the TuneIn app on Saturdays. And then I produce a local racing TV show that airs on, I don't know what it is, 23,000 sets down here in the La Crosse area Thursday through Sunday. And what I was trying to chime in earlier is NASCAR Whale and All-American Series, of course, Elko Speedway, Madison, and La Crosse are all affiliated with NASCAR All-American Whale and Series. And before we headed into last weekend's races, Jacob Gady from the Elko Speedway, who had been running a lot at La Crosse this year, found himself third in national points, 14 points out, after placing, of course, a first and a fifth at Elko last week. And then at La Crosse, Nick Baninski, who won a championship here a couple years ago, who's also from Brownsville, Minnesota, not only will head into Oktoberfest 5 points behind the almighty Steve Carlson, but Nick Paninski is also now eyeing that national championship, which covers approximately 45 NASCAR tracks in the entire country. And I thought it's kind of cool that you've got two guys from Minnesota, one that races Elko and the other one that races La Crosse, both have a chance at doing something that's never been seen before with the NASCAR All-American Wayland Series is a gun for a national championship. So right here in our own backyard, it just shows that racing is completely alive again. Paninski, by the way, took a first and third this past Saturday night at La Crosse, and in doing so, beat Ty Majeski, who had just won the Howie Leto race at Madison on Friday night. Paninski beat Ty Majeski here at La Crosse twice on Saturday. So great news for two Minnesotans, Katie and Paninski.
You know, and if you beat Ty Majeski, you're beating royalty right now. The only
Hands down.
The only time he finishes second is if, you know, you met Johnny Sauter. I think he beat
He beat Sauter at Oktoberfest a couple of years ago.
Yeah, didn't he just beat him at the Dell Speedway, too, when Sauter was on the suspension?
Yeah, he beat Sauter when he was – I just had him on my radio show that week he was on suspension. And he decided to take the trip down to the Dells, and Majeski ousted him there. And last Friday night, Majeski had just beaten Matt Kenseth down at Madison International Speedway during the Howie Little 100. So Majeski's been in a roll. I talked to him after the race Saturday night, and he said that they're trying four different setups, and he didn't really presume he was going to win this past weekend. But I would presume that at Oktoberfest at La Crosse Speedway in October, Majeski is going to race with the NASCAR late models Thursday night with our local guys. And I would presume that one of those setups is what he's trying for. And then, of course, he'll be running the Futures race. He'll be running the Dick Trickle 99. And then he'll be running the big 200-lap race on Sunday.
And Majeski, of course, I think there's – out of all of his ARCA starts this year – there's only one that he hasn't won, correct?
Well, that was when he almost put together three in a row. He had won two in a row. And if you remember, he was going to win three in a row, and he ran out of gas in turn four on the last lap, 4 seconds away from taking the checkers.
Yeah, and then for those not familiar with Ty Majeski's work, he also was part of the Roush Racing Camp, as well as I think it was the number 12 in the Xfinity Series too, as well last year.
Yep, you're correct. Yep.
And so the guy's got some big credentials. He really does. And yeah, if you go out to the track to try to compete, you better plan on finishing second to tie. There's very few. Usually beat
them. So, you know, another kind of side note, Derek Krause has been a great friend of mine for many years. His mom went to school with some of my family. And Derek, up until about a month ago, was on pace to set a record that had never been done before. And he was leading the points in both the Canaan East and West Series. And had he not tripped up with a third place finish 3 weeks ago, he had a good possibility to win both championships, which has never been done before. And Derek is probably one of the most quietest on-a-rail type drivers coming out of Stratford, Wisconsin, that we've seen in quite a while. I mean, we've had Majeski. We know what's going on with Natalie Decker with the N29 truck this year. And Derek Krause with that Napa team just quietly keeps winning big races and keeps himself in the top, you know, obviously leading 1 points championship and barely out of the other one. So I'll tell you what, racing here in the Midwest is something that people really, really need to start taking a look at, because I say that La Crosse all the time. You need to meet the drivers of today because you don't know what they're going to do tomorrow.
And throughout history, Wisconsin's been a hell of a breeding ground for big names. So.
Yeah, the Sauters kind of set that pace years ago, and then, of course, Kenseth, and then Matt Sauter Ross, ran Oktoberfest many years, and he was on the K&N series for a while, and then graduated from Clemson, then got married, and just kind of really went his own way. But yeah, I mean, some of the big names, the Leto's and the Deary's, good friends of mine, of course, with Marv Marzofka and Tom Reffner and Dick Trickle. I mean, it's a great time to be in the Midwest. It's a great time to be a race fan. And when people say that, oh, look at the grandstands, you know, that's looking at TV on Fox every Sunday. Go to your local short track and see the grandstands there. The La Crosse Speedway, we've been fortunate enough to average 25 late models every Saturday night. That is the largest field of cars that I've seen in about 40 tracks in the Midwest over the past 2 years. And our late model class just keeps growing since we've kind of conformed to the rules of the Big 8 series. And all you have to do is just look in your backyard and keep supporting local short tracks.
Another name that I wanted to mention, too, was Jim Sauter. Even though he probably isn't the most familiar name, if it wasn't for a guy like Jim Sauter, a lot of what you saw going on years ago in the IROC series and, all those, Jim Sauter, of course, father of Johnny Sauter, right there out of Nisita, Wisconsin, recently passed away.
Yep, I live right down the road from all those guys. Jim Sauter Jr. lives in Toma, and about 15 minutes away from me. Johnny's always over at his garage helping him bang on his super late model. Tyler Sauter has been running all the big shows in a Sportsman this year. I've had the fortune to announce him, I think, 3 or 4 times. And then when I announced at the Milwaukee Mile this year for the big Father's Day event, Tyler Sauter ran at the mile in his Sportsman. And you've got about 3 or 4 other Sauters that have been cracking the whip. Michael Sauter, of course, has been running a super late model throughout Wisconsin this year. And, of course, he's the son of Jay Sauter, who ran NASCAR for many years. So the Sauter name is still rich and still growing around the Midwest here. And it's always funny because I announce at so many different racetracks during the year that I'm always scouring the entry list to see what Sauter pops up next.
We were just talking about Ty Majeski, of course, and I wanted to cover I'm going to keep this one brief as far as the ARCA series. The ARCA series ran on the dirt at Illinois State Fairgrounds yesterday. The ARCA series, of course, has been all over. The immediate 4 states, the Iowa Speedway, Minnesota at Elko, the most recent one, Illinois State Fairgrounds. And then they'll be back in Iowa at DeCoin on this following weekend, too. Or excuse me, no, they won't. They'll be back after taking a weekend off. And then they'll be back at DeCoin on August 31st. Like usual, the ARCA website is sketchy at best. Dude, that site drives me nuts. It's hard to find results and everything on there. But I did see that points leader Michael Self got the victory at Springfield over the weekend on the dirt, by the way. And then Christian Eckes, who's had to crawl his way back up in points after missing a weekend, he's up to second to Michael Self. So, dudes, yeah, as far as the ARCA series, are they running anywhere in Wisconsin?
They ran about 2 months ago down at Madison. Matter of fact, if Ty Majeski would have won that third race in which he ran out of fuel in that coming off of turn 4, they ran at Madison that next weekend. And had Majeski not been testing for Ford, he would have been in that ARCA race as well. So they usually make one stop a year down at Greg McCarn's track, Madison International Speedway.
I forgot about Madison. Yep. Matter of fact, I should know that. I remember talking about it this year. So.
Well, I got to skedaddle, guys, but hopefully
okay,
we get to meet face-to-face down in Oktoberfest this year.
It's a possibility. Matter of fact, I was out at lacrosse back when I was just a little knee high, back when it was all the who's who of the Super American Knights, the Jim Sodders, Rusty Wallace, Alan Kulwicki. I could name drop, tell him blue in the face right now. So it's been that long since I've been out to lacrosse. So.
Well, if we get a chance to pop down for Fest, I'll give you the VIP. I can guarantee you that much.
Thank you, sir. That's awesome.
Okay.
And
cool.
You know what? I got to mark my dates.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Okay.
Thanks
thank
a lot.
You. Thank you, sir.
That's Dan Diker, track announcer and multiple guy in the auto racing media. Out of
yes,
I know he's like from the Sparta, Wisconsin, Toma area, but yeah, he's done a lot of things throughout the years.
Yeah, Wisconsin's got more. I just call them both together, you know, the Winston Cup and of course the current one. I just call them the NASCAR Cup, just to put them. That's just what I call it. Just. And then they got more of them in the state of Wisconsin than they have the Brewers in a World Series title, because you forgot about Alan Kulwicki.
Yeah, I'll be calling it the Cup Series till the end of time,
mm-hmm.
because, well, even after this year, the contract is up with Monster Energy, so
yeah,
I wouldn't even use calling them the Sprint or the Nextel Sprint or either one. Tony Stewart even said they'll always be the Winston Cup Series.
Yep.
Xfinity, I still call the Busch Series. Trucks, it varies, but I still call them the Craftsman Truck Series. You know,
yeah.
It's just, it is. Speaking of the Sodders and the Reffners, there was, Jay Sodder. He was one of the mainstays in the truck series back in its inception. And then, Brian Reffner as well.
Yep.
I didn't paragraph things properly for the World of Outlaws, so I'm going to go to that in just a second. But I'm going to move to some more regional news. And our own Dean Cornelius from town here, he doubled down and won both finals at both mains at Arlington down there in little bit to the south in Minnesota. So, yeah, he was out there racing on the dirt. Dean Cornelius also does run out there on the in his asphalt late model at lacrosse speedway. So let's pull up some World of Outlaws real quick. I know that we're about half an hour out from the end of the show. World of Outlaws schedule, I didn't get to paragraph it earlier because, as some of you know, I was sleeping well past 7 o'clock, came on the air with a dry throat and upcoming, let's see, Black Hills Speedway, Rapid City, South Dakota is the next event on Friday the 3rd. And then also Big Sky Speedway on the Saturday the 24th, too, for the World of Outlaws. So, so woo, dodged a bullet there. I got the news up about that. IndyCar ran over the weekend at Pocono, and their website has broke down, so I can't get the results from that either.
They're broke.
Wonderful.
Their website is broken down, huh?
It's not the most special one out there, but yeah.
Hmm.
ARCA's. Kind of hit or miss as far as being able to pull up results. I think Dan covered things pretty well as far as our regional news. Multi-sports. First off, I'm going to bring up some hometown news. I got to bring up our hometown team from Coon Rapids Andover in the Little League series. Anything but little when it comes to skills. I mean, and their young pitcher, female pitcher, she looked like she could work over anyone in the competition.
Yeah.
She solid form on the mound, and she could put it in the zone or just outside of the zone and make players swing at it. I'm forgetting her name, but anyways, they won on Friday, they lost yesterday, and they have one more chance to advance, and I believe that's tomorrow. If that's correct.
Tonight.
Are they playing tonight? Okay.
I believe they are.
You know, after covering so many series in auto racing, you know, oh God, you want to, there was at least 8 to cover. And then there was also, you know, so much news as silly season is kicking off here too. So as far as you know, everything going on, it's kind of hard to remember quite who's playing where and what. And like even right now, I'm Chicago White Sox, by the way.
Yes,
are 4-2 over the Twins in the in the top of the 5th. Twins still got time to come back. Twins, of course, who lost the series lead to Cleveland briefly by a half a game, are back in the lead, 2.5 games ahead going into tonight, unless Cleveland lost today too. I don't know.
They got to take this homestand big time, though, just because of who they're playing. I mean,
you know, looking at that, so they are at home right now against Chicago White Sox.
It's them and it's the Sox, it's the Chi Sox, and then the Tigers. So it's kind of like, come on, you guys. I was more nervous about these two with them than I was about Cleveland, Atlanta and Cleveland. So just because. You know.
I lost track. Either way, the Twins are outstanding. Not just because they're the home team here. They're putting up historic numbers, both for themselves and for Major League Baseball overall. So, let's see.
They already have their 40th road win. I'll mention that, and they're going to have a winning season on the road. So, I mean, it's kind of like, oh. So.
Multiple instances, the Twins have been better on the road than they are at home. So that's
been
absolutely crazy.
Yep, that happens.
We're getting down to the thick of a lot of stuff here. And, of course, you know, in auto racing, the championship showdowns are starting to kick off, namely the Truck Series. NHRA has one more event before they begin their 6-race showdown for the top 10 in each division. But now when you look at the news that's coming up, you know, before you know it, September's out of the way, and we're going to be looking at the Major League Baseball playoff scenarios. And
yes, we are.
We also have preseason that has opened up for the second and a half week.
Yep. And the next game, third preseason game, that's always the one that matters. So, and of course they're playing the Cardinals, and that's the one that's gonna really, really matter in the preseason. So,
no, as I was starting to nod off earlier about 3 o'clock, when Barrero came on air, they were talking about Mike Zimmer, coach of the Minnesota
Vikings. Oh, yeah, I was listening to that.
He's got a different approach to preseason that a lot of other coaches just pretty much save their top dogs and might put them in for maybe one.
Yeah.
Five. Whereas he wants his players on the field.
Yep.
You know, so that's why guys like Kirk Cousins and your Thielen and all the above got some time on the field. Their new kicker, too, I'm forgetting his name. Apparently, he only, in 14 attempts last year, he only missed one. Made 13 out of 14 in a row. When he was with Baltimore Ravens last year, so.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta keep rapping here. So we only had the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series this weekend, and so no Cup Series going on. So, dude, who's your car?
Well, my. Cole didn't do that great this past week.
He finished farthest back out of the top three in Xfinity.
Oh, God, who should I go with?
Remember,
you know what? I'm going with Ross Chastain. So, I haven't picked him for a while, and he's been winning, so.
Well, Just like last week, I picked a winner for my first time because I bet on the road course ringer. And that's in the Xfinity Series, and that is Austin Cindric. I got that right. Austin Cindric, and we're going to another road course. Why wouldn't I bet on him again? So we're going with Austin Cindric to win three in a row on the road courses. And you can bet that I'll probably be betting on him down the road here at the Charlotte Roval. So. All right, you've heard the helmet controversy. We're going into final lap, by the way, folks. You've heard the helmet controversy with Antonio Brown and the Raiders, correct?
I heard somebody say something about it. I don't really get everything. I didn't get it all, though. What is going on there?
Apparently, somehow going into this NFL season here, the NFL has changed its rules on helmets, and Antonio Brown's helmet that he's had for 10 years doesn't meet the specifications as far as that goes.
Oh, I think I did, yeah.
So he's made threats to walk away from football overall if he can't use his helmet. And I don't know. My point was, going into this first of the final laps, Antonio Brown is protesting on that end. But I wanted to say, can you imagine if NASCAR mandated the full-face helmet before Earnhardt died? How are you going to tell Dale Earnhardt he can't have the open face helmet with the big fisheye glasses or whatever you want to call them?
Yeah.
And that just, I mean, it kind of resembles each other when it comes to what would Dale Earnhardt have said.
Like to add real quick, remember, even 20 years ago, if you saw one driver with the full helmet, it just was kind of like, it just stood out. And there was definitely more than one guy that did that. But, yeah, it just stood out. And, you know, I had heard somebody just say, well, you know, them things are air-conditioned and then the open-face ones aren't. But what I always loved, though, about Earnhardt's helmet, it had a visor on it, which made sense, but, you know.
You know, something about the glasses that he wore, too.
Yeah.
A lot of drivers were just using downhill skier glasses. You
mm-hmm.
know, and then when motocross riders started using the ones designed for him, that was the style that Earnhardt decided he prefers.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Junior, you know, followed in his daddy's footsteps, same style, but, of course, now he's he learned to adapt and wear the full-face helmet as well.
Yeah.
Another little final lap here. Remember playing action figures? Like, you know, we say, hey, you want to play guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, action figures or Lego guys or Hot Wheels and all that. Isn't it funny how now we're playing radio jocks?
Yeah.
Get on the air and just pretend to be. I don't know. I think we do a pretty good job. And if somebody doesn't like it, well, you know,
we can
always go back to Facebook.
I know we can kind of. We got to thank Marconi a little bit for that. And, of course, Dr. Tim Lee, that British guy that came up with the World Wide Web for that. I think a lot of people have a lot of things to thank him about. Me, you, Mark Zuckerberg.
As long as people keep tuning in, or even if they don't, and we just talk amongst ourselves and play the video jocks.
Yep.
So be it. I'm completely and thoroughly okay with that.
Yep.
And for those that do tune in, of course, I appreciate it greatly. Matter of fact, I think I've converted a few of you into auto racing fans, by the way. Mm. So for those that didn't know how to access information, you have Speedway Anywhere. So be it. Mm. Intro songs. We were talking about that earlier. Denny Hamlin. He was the only one who came out to an Eric Church song. Well, he came out to the song Some of It. Mm-hmm. And Eric Church, of course, my favorite country artist. Matt DiBenedetto came out to Gonna Fly Now from the Rocky movie. Now, here's a toss-up for you. Eye of the Tiger or Gonna Fly Now? Which one's the better Rocky song?
Oh, Gonna Fly Now.
Yeah.
I have the Tiger. Too poppy, but I mean, I remember as a kid, like it, and God bless them. God bless the band Survivor. I mean, I wish I had that kind of fame for the little amount of time that they had, though, too. So God bless them.
And God bless Matt DiBenedetto, because he came out wearing the boxer's robe. He had the boxing gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and obviously that final 50 laps, it looked like
That's a little ironic too. it's a little ironic, too, coming out the way he did, where he finished, and Rocky finished number two in the first movie.
You know, I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good point.
Yep.
So, we'll see. Hopefully, next time he's got it going on.
Yeah, and find out his significant other named Adrian.
Well,
yeah.
As long as he doesn't knock his head into a wall and come out there, Adrian!
Yeah, too bad he didn't come out there escorted by Mr. T. Or Carl Weathers. It would have been cool if Carl Weathers was there. That would have been really cool.
Okay, now we're getting silly.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of movies, I got a good one here. A funniest scene from a movie. Which one sticks out to you the most?
I want to say Dumb and Dumber, but that's... I still think Dumb and Dumber, though, would be too recent. You know, the snowball scene, but...
I don't spoil it scene myself.
Cheech and Chong. Oh, God, there's so damn many. I can't pick one.
Dumb and Dumber, the toilet scene. No, I think that's funnier than the snowball, but geez, they're on that.
I had a funny scene from Dumb and Dumber that wasn't in the movie. It was because of the closed captioning, so. But it did include the toilet scene.
You know, there's way too many to choose from.
There is.
But for some reason, I was outside taking a break, and the scene from Lethal Weapon when Chris Tucker and Mel Gibson, Danny Glover, and the little Chinese man in the dentist's office. When they're all giggling
with the laughing gas.
Information out of the guy.
Yeah.
But when Chris starts doing the thing about when tells Danny Glover that he's dating his daughter, he's banging his daughter. Oh, baby. That just, and they're on the laughing gas and everything, and you couldn't help but feel like you're in the same room as those guys when they were laughing their ass off. And
I love it though at home. Murtaugh punches Riggs, you know, Glover punches Gibson, and it's kind of like, why'd you hit me? He's going to have to be my son-in-law now, so I can't hit him. And you didn't tell me. So
yeah, that was definitely a classic scene. And I don't know, just it was so infectious as far as the laughing and the phrases that were injected in there and everything. So,
that's about it for me
as far as final laughs.
And by the way,
yes,
I could give my own victory lane to working Ethernet waves, working something in the universe worked right tonight. So,
as far as the system, so far so good. I'll listen to the playbacks. Hopefully, we don't have pops and knocks going on, but.
And thank Mr. Dan, too. That was really cool.
Yeah, thank you, Dan Dyker. And we'll be back on Thursday. As long as the system wants to work, I'm going to work it. We'll be back on Thursday at 7 p.m. Hopefully, I wake up on time this time. And the Cup Series has a weekend off, but the Trucks and Xfinity Series will be on the road courses. I think, what did I say about NHRA? I believe they have one more race to go before their showdown kicks off, and they'll be at Indianapolis Dragway. And then, of course, exciting weekend for the K&M Pro Series as East meets West over at Gateway. So, but yeah, NHRA has a weekend off before they go to Indy, August 28th through September 2nd. So, other than that, same bat time, same bat channel, blogtalkradio.com/speedwayanywhere, and as well as Facebook at facebook.com/speedwayanywhere. Add yourself to the page, and you can see me. Oh, I don't think I've picked my nose on the Facebook live cam. Have I?
Not sure. Well, you picked a winner.
I did pick a winner, Austin Cendric, a couple of weeks ago at
Mid-Ohio. You picked your nose. Yeah, but that nose-picking slogan, pick a winner. So.
All right, we're going to wrap, but I'm going to give victory lane to Matt DiBenedetto. He did everything except win the final 10 laps. So I can be happy with that. And I think everybody wanted him in victory lane. So, all right, we're going to bump out. Can I get a kaplow?
I'm going to go with something else Captain Kurt said. Star Trek 2. Con. Okay.
And then?